This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Zach Jackson joins us right now. He's never looking out for us. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from The Athletic. Zach, good morning to you.
Good morning. We almost made it, guys. Almost.
What?
The end of this draft talk.
Oh, well, sorry. You're going to continue it now. First, let me ask you, you know what? This is non-draft. Let me ask you this. I thought Nick Chubb might sign week two, and then I go, oh, it's a very deep running back draft, so I guess Nick Chubb probably ain't going to sign till after the draft, I'm guessing now. Have you heard anything about Nick as far as the Browns or any other team?
No, he was never going to sign until after the draft. And frankly, Ken, I'm surprised as many running backs did, like the Javonte Williams and guys like that. Now, they didn't get any money, and Nick's not going to either. It's just the environment we're in, and this really is – multiple people keep saying, like, this is a great running back class. And so, you know, the Browns are going to draft one, almost certainly, and they'll be in position, if they don't get Nick Chubb, you know, to get somebody else's veteran who becomes free. But all the attention is going to be on the rookies, and I know that people want to know about Nick Chubb. We don't know if he can still play or not. We don't, right? But in the past couple of years, Zeke Elliott's and Dalvin Cook's of the world have signed well into the summer and even into the season, right? Kareem Hunt has started the last two seasons unemployed and finished them pretty well. So that is where Nick is, and we'll see if he's healthy enough and what happens. I mean, you know, if he's going to be a number three running back, I would say he should go to a contender, but I don't know how it's going to go. Just reading through the translations of things, I think the GM has tried to tell Browns fans where this is headed, but I truly don't know where it's headed.
So is it if it's heading in the direction that I think you are assuming, or at least setting up Browns fans to understand that we could be without Nick Chubb this year, is that more of a Nick Chubb decision or is it more of a Browns decision?
I would say it's more of a reality decision. But ultimately it would be the Browns decision, right? Cause they could sign him, but, the quarterback decisions and the other decisions have told you that money comes first, right? So going down the list, a running back who's not going to make much more than the minimum and probably would not be one of your top two running backs would be low on that list.
Zach Jackson joining us here on the show. So are we in the market for a couple of running backs later on in the draft, maybe day two, day three?
Yeah, it's interesting. Can it be day two with all their other needs, right? The Ohio State guys are both going to go in round two, I believe. The Iowa kid, who seems a perfect fit for a Kevin Stefanski wide zone offense, is going to go in round two or round three. Caleb Johnson is his name. Yeah. But a lot of these guys are going to go. And then, you know, that middle tier, we'll see. There's a lot of ways this draft stacks up that pertain to the Browns. One of the most important ones is those last 10 picks of the first round. Who's going to go? Who's going to get pushed down to the second? You know, is that second running back going to go in there? And then in that second round, is there going to be a run on running backs so they need to be there or they could get one at 67, which kind of feels like a tight end pick or an offensive tackle pick if it starts, you know, blue chip player quarterback like we think it's going to. And like I think there's probably – a 70% chance, right, that it starts either Hunter Carter and then quarterback. And then can you get a running back or do you need to address the lines and who's available to do that. That's one of the things that the team is preparing for, because it can't obviously control, you know, who actually goes.
Zach Jackson with us right now on the hotline. Boy, I've heard more favorable evaluations, and we're talking not just this season, like generational favorable evaluations on Travis Hunter in the last week than I had heard all season. Just recently, Mel Kiper went on a show and said it's the best grade he's given out since John Elway in the draft. And I'm like, man, guys had all year to say this. It's happening now. Is it just that everybody's looking at the tape and the tape is that good for Travis Hunter?
Well, we do love our recency in these things, right? And that's just the nature of it. You know, part of me really believes that the Browns have not been afraid of nudging their Travis Hunter glowing evaluations out there and trying to draw a trade partner in. I think there's I think that could happen. I think there's a very slim chance that could happen. But in our recency, we forgot that in January, on the record, the GM said not generational. He doesn't like the word generational. He doesn't see anybody in this class who's generational. He said Myles Garrett is generational. No one in this class is. So, yeah, I mean, I truly believe that lots of people have really high grades on Travis Hunter, really high for any year. And I think a lot of people have high grades on Abdul Carter, too. But, yeah, generational, I don't know. I think both of them can be great, Anthony. I think Travis Hunter is certainly fascinating because of what he might be. I have some questions about his use and immediate fit here in Cleveland. But regardless of who it is, this is a pick for the future. You know, and they will have done their work. We'll see. If I had to turn in a mock 5 minutes from now, I probably would pick Travis Hunter, but I think Abdul Carter was the leader in this process for the Browns for a few months anyway. And then is there something in the medicals? Is there something in the background or something that Travis Hunter did to pass him? I don't know. I think only probably 10 people know right now as we're 9 days out.
Have they become more sensitive to guys with maybe some red flags in their past? Like, I've made the comment many times, like, I tried to fight a tow truck driver. I don't care. Well, do they care?
Well, have they become more sensitive? I mean, we can't answer that until we see next week's class. But I would say it's always a case-by-case basis on was there an incident or is there a pattern, right? You know, did something happen or is a real concern about what would go on? So, yeah, that's been very public. That's been out there. When they were in State College 2 weeks ago, they went to dinner with the parents, with Abdul Carter's girlfriend. They spent extensive time. You know, he's from Philly, so is Kevin Stefanski. They know. So where that factors in, how much of a big deal it is, again, I don't know the full answer on that. But I kind of lean towards no, Ken, but maybe there is something else. I trust that they've done the work.
Is there any impact whatsoever on the quarterback selections in this draft class by the acquisition of Joe Flacco?
Zero. I mean, they have two inexpensive backup quarterbacks, both of whom are only signed through December, right? So it's kind of a blank slate. And my initial translation is that that completely blank slate could forward to the draft, and it makes them more likely to take Jalen Milroe and just say, hey, he's got the highest ceiling, let's see. In doing that, I thought, well, maybe it means they're going to take Tyler Shuck, who's just like Joe Flacco's nephew. Right? Exact same player, 15 years difference. I don't know, but no, it's zero affecting. What their quarterback plan A was, or even A and B, we'll never know. It's pretty clear it was never to have Tyler or Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, right? But I don't think that either of those or the order in which those went affects next week whatsoever.
Who would start week one, by the way?
You know, I would think that Flacco could win that competition, but I think it's a real competition.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny said it on the record twice now that he was promised a chance to compete. And I would think that that's how that would go. You know, I asked Kevin at the owners' meetings, how is training camp different? What's going to be different with the rookie QB? He said, can we get there first? But he did acknowledge that when you're getting a rookie ready, we'll see. Now, how would you handle a competition? Would you want it to go through all of camp? I don't know. At some point, you have to get ready to play football games. But last year's training camp had zero competition of almost any kind. and it just had a lethargic offense thrown in completions. And so an awful Flacco versus Pickett competition can't really be worse than what we saw last year. So onward they go.
All right, Zach, so you haven't really brought up Shador Sanders much. I assume that means you don't think he's in play at number two. You think that would be a surprise at this point, probably, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's been the case, I think, for a long time.
Where do you see him slipping right now? And do you think the opportunity would be there for the Browns to get back in and get him?
He would have to slip pretty far, probably further than he does. Guys, I don't think the Browns can get back in except for four or five spots, because I don't think the Browns would or should give up their next first-round pick. How valuable was that pick in 26? Really valuable, right? So are you going to spend it on the 20th pick this year? No, you keep it and use it next year. So in my own fishing around, truly no one knows what's going to happen with these quarterbacks, right? There is complete guesswork. There are some people who are astounded that Jalen Milroe would be invited to the draft because they view him as a third-round pick. There are some people that think Jalen Milroe is going between 28 and 34. You know, there are people that really like Tyler Shuck and think that he can start right away. There are people that say, are you kidding me? Are you drafting this guy in the second round? Same with Jackson Dart, right? People think that McVay is going to take Jackson Dart. Some people think Jackson Dart's a third-rounder. So we're going to see. What the Browns can and presumably are doing is focusing on which of those four they really like and then deciding what their tolerance is for what they would give up to get them. And in an ideal world, you know, when Friday night or when Thursday night ends, they would have their chance to select that guy with the first pick of Friday or trade out and get him, and then, you know, trade back to 50. We'll see. But if they give up a first-round pick to trade up to 16, say, or 20 to get Shador Sanders, I'd be very surprised, because that'd be a heavy price to pay. And if you value a player that much, you should take him at two.
Two questions. One, Paul DeModesta was in Colorado. Why?
Because he helps run the Cleveland Browns, is the simple answer.
What does he do?
That's not one segment discussion. That's probably not a one show discussion. The owner's been asked that on the record many times, right? And the GM was asked that, and he said he's a wonderful thought partner, right? Which was the second worst quote of the year behind, we're going to double down on our processes. We've learned a lot from 3-14, including doubling down on our processes. So here we are, and here he is. And it's a great question, Ken. I think that people can decide what role he's played in this slide and whatever, but I was not stunned to see him as part of the group whatsoever.
All right, final one. Who was better in college, Cordell Stewart or Shador Sanders?
Oh, Cordell Stewart.
Oh, come on. You're ridiculous.
Yes.
You both are living in the past. You both are sitting there. No, you guys are both remembering the way it was when you guys were kids. Don't even remember. No, you're fine.
Listen, when Shador and Travis and Deion got to Colorado, that team would not have won the MAC. That team was awful. And it was, I mean, they went out the first game and beat TCU, and the second game beat Nebraska. It was fun. And last year when he was good, he was really good. But come on, that's an easy, I mean, the standards were so different. And Cordell was phenomenal.
Were they? I mean, you had Bill McPherson there for like a little bit, and then before and after they were garbage.
I don't know. I don't have the almanac in front of me.
Well, I am the almanac. I'm sitting right here in front of you.
Football guy Ken.
Yeah, I'm football guy. Did you know that?
Yeah. Big eight football. You liked Iowa State even back then. You knew Campbell was gonna go.
Hey man. It ain't just him, man. I like all about the Big 12.
Who would you take, Noel or Higgins?
Oh God. I really like Jalen Noel, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah,
Pittsburgh Steeler, right?
Dog, damn you. Damn you. Don't you do that to me. All right, Zach, thank you for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.